And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. I'm out at Duncan, out here in Hermitage. I'll be out here throughout the show. And you're invited to come on out as well. 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard. And starting at 8 o'clock, the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days. Plus, we've got some giveaways out here as well. So out at Duncan at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us today here on the program. He and Ian Safar are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. PK, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Chief, it's nice to be back. I appreciate the invitation. How is the mood out there? Not the mood of the people, but the mood of the host.
Not good, but steadily improving would be how I would describe it.
Good.
The mood is much better than it was this time 40 minutes ago. I'll put it that way.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. When we chatted 40 minutes ago, I thought Ian and I might be doing the show.
Well, you know, it's a long show. We'll see what happens.
And a long day for you. So off to a swimming start.
Off to a very good start. Ian Safar, welcome back to the program today. How are we doing?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm doing great. Happy NHL draft day to everybody out there. May the Preds forward pick disappoint once again.
Yeah, that could happen. We'll see what happens on that front. We will get into that here in just a few minutes. PK, I do want to get just a status check from you. How are we feeling about the Yankees at this point with the calendar almost slipping to July the 4th?
Yeah, I mean, they've fallen back to earth. I did not think that they were as good as they were playing early. I don't think they're as bad as they've been lately. I do think they'll make a move or two, but if a move they make is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, I'm going to jump off a bridge. I mean, this guy was a disaster for him around. Do they need a utility infielder? Yes, but what they need to do is get an infielder that makes DJ LeMahieu their utility infielder. This guy used to be able to play third base. For some reason, now he's like got an honorific that he's not allowed to play third base. So they have to move Jazz Chisholm out of position. The injuries start to mount. I don't pay a lot of attention to other teams. I presume everybody else is getting hurt as well. And the Reds games are blocked out. So I haven't been able to see this last series.
Yeah, how ridiculous
series.
Is that?
Yeah. So it was on FanDuel. I go to my MLB app. It says it's on FanDuel TV. I, of course, don't know what that is because I don't watch regional Bally's now FanDuel TV. So I download the FanDuel TV app, and then it's asking me for $20 a month to watch the Reds and the Braves. And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. So I go on a 3 or 4 day fast, which doesn't please me at all. But based on how they played, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, may have saved yourself some heartache there on that front. Well, I'm glad I checked in because, you know, it's a long season, but it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride for them.
I think they're a pretty good team. I know yes. The Tigers are a very good team, but the Yanks would probably do what they do and, you know, get to the ALCS and lose or something like that. Probably won't be as good as last year to get to the World Series and have a disaster.
We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. We're going to get into a lot of different Titans thoughts with PK throughout the program as well. We will get to a lot of our NHL draft today as well, and that's where we're going to start here. It is draft day for the Predators, the number 5 overall pick coming up tonight, and then they've got two more scheduled in the first round as well. So potentially 3 first-round picks for the Predators tonight. The main one, of course, being number 5 overall. We've talked about the numbers. When you look at the NHL, it is different from the NFL. I mean, there is a big difference in most years between a top 5 pick and picks later in the first round. And as you go a little bit deeper into the NHL draft, it starts to become, frankly, more and more of a crapshoot as you're dealing with 17- and 18-year-olds that you're drafting at that point. But today, PK, is potentially a huge day for the Predators. If they make the right selection at number 5, and I think they're going to have a chance to walk away with a really good player here, this is the type of moment that they've really not had a whole lot of throughout the history of their franchise. They've not picked in the top five very often. The last time they did it was back in 2013 when they took Seth Jones, a defenseman. But an opportunity today for a forward, for a centerman to get in there and maybe change the face of this franchise. And we may not find out for a few years if it's the right pick or not, but tonight certainly an opportunity for the Predators to really make a stamp on their franchise if they pick the right guy.
And the big question, seemingly, you know, are they definitely going centerman, or if the right wing sneaks through, I guess, if he's there, is Porter Martone gonna be the guy? You know, and Barry Trotz offering an example of somebody who passed on a center for a wing and certainly has had a lot of cause to regret it over time. So, you know, it's the traditional, this goes on in every draft in every sport, you know. Obviously, they have a big hole in their system at center. And there are a lot of good centers here to choose from. But, you know, if a wing arrives when you're on the clock who you think is a better player, do you go against the organizational need to take the wing, you know, and not regret the fact that you pass on center because you think the wing is a better player, need over talent?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating question, and we'll see if Porter Martone is available at five, because if he is, and it's coming down to Porter Martone at five and maybe a James Hagans or maybe an Anton Frondell or Caleb DeNoia, whoever it is the center at that pick as well. It's going to be a really philosophical question, because I think Martone has a chance to be a really good player, and he could put the puck in the back of the net. And Lord knows the Predators need some of that too, if it's not just going to be a centerman. So I expect them to take a centerman tonight. Barry Trotz said the other day that his preference would be to take a centerman, and I don't think he's just making stuff up there. So we'll see what that looks like on the Predators' front tonight. But it's going to be a really fascinating night. And then the other part of this is, are they going to make all three of their picks tonight, or do they use maybe one or two of their later picks in the first round, or potentially some picks in the early part of the second round, which they have, which will be tomorrow? But this weekend, do they make all their selections? Do they trade out, trade back, get more? Or I guess the main question on the trade front is, do they start to package some of these picks that they've got together to help the team now? And, PK, that is kind of the philosophical question that I think everybody around here is dealing with. They were so bad last year, and there was so much excitement about what they did last summer in signing Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea and all these guys, and then they came out and finished 30th in the league, third worst record in the league. And is that really what they are? Was last year a fluke? And if you believe last year was a fluke, how close are they to actually being in contention? How much work can you actually do in one offseason to get in there? Frankly, it's hard to believe that they're close based on the way that last year went, but that's kind of the philosophical question that Barry Trotz is going to have to figure out here, of how much effort do you put into trying to make next year's team a legitimate contender, and does that path actually exist?
And if Noah Dobson's your target or one of your targets, you know, what's the competition like? He looks like a pretty attractive guy to go get, and that's not just for you. That's for a lot of other teams, and a lot of other teams, frankly, who are a lot closer to being competitive than you are, right? That yep. There are teams in the league who probably feel like they're Noah Dobson away from the playoffs, or Noah Dobson away from the Cup finals. And so, you know, you tell me how competitive can the Preds be with an offer for him to get him in and then give him the kind of contract that he wants.
Well, I think they can do it. They've got the assets. They've got a lot of draft capital. And then the question becomes, how much would you be willing to pay him on a contract extension? Because the reports are that Dobson out of New York is asking for more than $10 million per year, which seems like a lot. Now, he's a really good young player. The cap is going up. And that would mean at that point, if you do that, that you're investing, you know, over $9 million in Roman Josi, at that point, if that's the contract he gets, over $10 million in Noah Dobson and then $7 million in Brady Shea. So that's a whole lot of money that you're putting in on defense there. But again, the cap is going up. There are some health questions about Roman Josi right now, not only from a concussion standpoint because he sustained another one of those last year, but also he's just been diagnosed with POTS. So what's that going to look like by the time the season comes around? So it's something they definitely need a right shot defenseman. Noah Dobson fills that void. Dobson could play for you for a long time. I think it's something that the Predators, if he's available, should and will look at. But as you mentioned, PK, there's a whole lot of teams right now around the league that need that type of player. And there's a whole lot of teams that, frankly, are closer to the Predators to winning a championship that may be more desperate and willing to give up something to get that type of player. So that's, you know, Barry Trotz has got a decision to make here of, like, how much of the future is he willing to jeopardize and or throw out there to go get one of those guys. And whether it's on defense or whether it's at forward, does it make sense to do that with the timeline that you're at right now? Depending on who you ask, there are different answers to that question. But that's what makes tonight interesting. It's not just the number 5 overall pick, which is interesting enough in its own right, but I think there are going to be a lot of deals around the league tonight. So do the Predators get involved in that? That's going to be also interesting.
I mean, they're kind of in a tough spot because they're not good, but they've got they're just a year removed from bringing in this veteran the significant veteran presence, and they're not especially young. And so, you know, if you take the attitude that you're sticking and picking with all of these guys, well, then there seems to be, you know, a real veteran presence on the one side and youth you're waiting for on the other side. So if you believe that these guys last year, it was kind of an aberration of a season where people didn't perform as well as they will in their second year here and their second year in the system and all of that, then you need to get them some help that's going to be on the ice this year. Otherwise, you're just in limbo. And limbo is no kind of sales pitch, Robbie.
No, it sure is not. And limbo is kind of exactly where they are at the moment. Can they get out of it? And you mentioned the age part of it. It's a great point because right now their roster is you got a lot of 33-year-olds, 34-year-olds, 35-year-olds, and you got a lot of 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, and they are really light on the impactful 26, 27, 28-year-olds that are right in the prime of their career. Matthew from Jolton on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I feel like last year was a fluke just because of the start they had. They went 0-5, and then they were, what, 1-7? I think they were trying to play catch-up and couldn't. Now, they did go 0-5, and then they won 3 in a row, I think, so they got back 3-5. But to the point, they never caught up and got any traction from their bad start last year. So that's all that's on the table for the Predators tonight as we kind of set the stage for the NHL draft. We'll take more of your thoughts on the NHL draft for the Predators tonight. Got some questions for PK on the Titans front that we're going to get into as well. All that's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. NHL draft is tonight. Speaking of that, join us at Bridgestone Arena for a party like no other. Celebrate the future of Smashville at the Nashville Predators 2025 NHL Draft Party. You can find more details at thegamenashville.com/events. You can catch 102.5 The Game's Draft Night in Smashville tonight starting at 6 o'clock. I will be hosting that alongside Max Herz, and we'll have a whole lot of different folks rolling in throughout the night, including hopefully whoever the Predators take at number 5 overall. So looking forward to that tonight at Bridgestone Arena. That's powered by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429. So again, draft night tonight in Smashville starting at 6 o'clock. One quick thought on that before we get into Titans. There's a whole lot of conversation around James Hagans right now, who I know a lot of Predators fans want. And this time last year, if you were looking ahead to this draft, he was the number one guy. And if you ask a lot of people, a lot of draft analysts around the league, he could fall tonight, maybe to 6, 7, or 8, somewhere in that neighborhood. PK, it's always interesting, and in the NFL draft is this way too. It's always interesting this time of year when you start hearing about somebody falling, somebody not falling, somebody moving up. What is real? What is not real? What sort of games get played this time of year? And from the Hagans standpoint, I'm interested to see what that looks like tonight.
Falling, why, right? You want to know falling, right? Why, you know? And when I started to read about these guys, I was intrigued by Frondell.
Yep.
And now I read stuff and I don't see anything that has him in the top five. I know maybe he's not quite as crafty, but he seems more NHL ready. And so, you know, I hear NHL ready, and you were just talking about kind of the valley between the young and the old guys here, and maybe his game is a little bit older than some of these other guys because he's been playing with men more over in the Swedish league. But, you know, I always wonder about this, you know, is he really falling? Are people doing well who want their guys up to indicate that he's down? You know, is somebody's agent better than his agent or worse than his agent, or what goes on with all that? Why would he be falling? I mean, his resume is, you know, awfully, awfully good. So how do you sell him as falling?
Yep, and that's going to be interesting tonight if that is actually the case or if it's just a smoke around the draft and some posturing that's going on. So, again, 6 o'clock tonight, you can check that out. We'll have you have it covered from Bridgestone Arena. Still, he's going to be on with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the NHL draft as well and what all that looks like for the Predators. Take your thoughts on that throughout the show. But we've had a lot of discussion on that this week and a lot of great interviews on our station about that, including Barry Trotz and Scott Wheeler and Alex Doherty. So if you missed that, make sure you go check it out wherever you get your podcast on 102.5 The Game. PK, we were talking yesterday on the show, and I was thinking about this as it relates to Brian Callahan this year. As we know, and we've talked with you at length about, offensive line was atrocious last year, quarterback play was atrocious, and it makes you wonder, how much of the Brian Callahan offense did we actually see? How much of Brian Callahan as a play caller was actually allowed to be put on display last year? When you think about the fact that they really could not drop back any length of time without getting their quarterback killed. They had an offensive line that wasn't good enough. They had a quarterback that wasn't a good enough decision maker. And how much different could all that look as we move into this year with hopefully – a revamped and improved offensive line, and again, hopefully, better quarterback play, albeit out of a rookie who has not taken an NFL snap to this point. So, PK, as you look at it schematically, stylistically, Brian Callahan's offense, what are your expectations for what that should look like this year, and what are your expectations for what that looks like when it's operating at full capacity?
Yeah, I think you could take all of the people out of it, even. And just kind of, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but just to take all of that out and look at what you want as a game manager to be calling during a drive, right? Second and 7, ideally second and 6, right? Third and 3. How often were the Titans in 2nd and 7 and 3rd and 3? Not nearly a high enough percentage of the time. Now, we know why, all of the factors that you just mentioned. Offensive line that put them in bad spots, an undisciplined team that committed too many penalties and too many mistakes. You know, you always hear it only takes one guy out of the 11 to make a mistake, to blow up a play that ends you with a loss. The running back getting hit in the backfield, the quarterback getting sacked, a receiver catching a short ball that should have been an 8-yard gain that turns into a 3-yard gain. A screen or a check down that gets hit early at the line of scrimmage for no gain or 2 yards when had one block been made or one tackle been broken, would have gotten close to the sticks or beyond the sticks. And yep. So that's where I think the fun that's being made of Brian Callahan's offseason program with these points and the eight teams and all of that. That's what I think is being lost in that. He basically admitted that last year, and this is a big admission and a big mistake, that last year he came in and really was scheme heavy. He wanted to install his scheme, and he was all about his scheme. And in that, he kind of lost sight, and they collectively kind of lost sight of fundamentals to a degree.
Yep.
Now, that sounds ridiculous. You can say, oh, my God, how could a NFL football coach come in and lose that? But I think if you pull back and you have a little bit of grace, you can say, well, a guy comes in from a pretty good organization that was operating effectively, and I don't want to say he presumes certain things, but I think there's an expectation that a professional football team understands ball security and understands the discipline necessary not to get yourself in those situations. And
well,
so,
not to interrupt you there, but didn't we kind of hear that on the special teams part of it last year from Colt Anderson too? Of like, well, I just assumed these guys knew this part of it, right?
Right, which sounded terrible. But if you break that, and I'm not giving Colt Anderson any breaks. I think Colt Anderson was a presumptive hire. That I think what Colt Anderson said about his special teams players, Brian Callahan and management thought about Colt Anderson. Well, this guy's a good special teams player, and he'll know how to translate, and he did it. But I think Brian Callahan, and I said this when the season was over, I think he's a smart guy, and I think he's going to be able to break down his failures and have a good offseason. And I think whether you like the symbolism of this offseason program and all of that or not, it was a way for them to really emphasize the fundamentals. Hey, if you're not managing ball control, and if you're not managing false starts the way we're emphasizing now, we're going to point at you, and we're going to laugh at you, and we're going to put it up on a board that you botched it today, and everybody's going to know it and be conscious of it, and we're going to overemphasize it, right? And so we're going to overcorrect our failure from last season. And that's going to get us in second and six. That's going to help get us in second and six. And it's going to help get us in third and three and third and two. And out of those downs and distances, we can operate the offense that I came here to operate, hopefully with a better quarterback, a better offensive line, better weapons, et cetera. And I think I see evidence of that, as much evidence as you can see in what they've done working, and of guys buying into that. And so I say laugh that off at your own danger. The team bonding and camaraderie and all of that, I think, is a nice side effect of all of that.
Right.
Right? And that helps you, too, as a football team. But the thing I'm interested in is not being in second and 13 or second and 15 all the time. And if we don't see a reduction in that, then I think you could say, well, this was all for naught. And your players aren't good enough, and they don't do things well enough. I expect this team to be better at that stuff, in part because of what they've done in the offseason.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on everything PK just laid out there with the Titans. What do you make of the offense stylistically? Do you think we'll see big changes on that front this year? We'll get more in depth with PK with that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. I'm at a Dunkin' at Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard. Starting at 8 o'clock, the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days. Plus, we're out here with some chances for tickets to upcoming concerts and more. So 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard out in Hermitage. PK with me, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 and discussing the offense. PK, I think everything you just laid out there makes a lot of sense, and I'm really interested to see that part of it this year and what that looks like. You know, I go back to the offensive line, and if they can just get adequate offensive line play, how much else does that just unlock? I mean, it sounds simple, but we've talked about this. Like, if you can get adequate offensive line play and adequate quarterback play, how much better is last year's team than it ended up being? And maybe that's too much to expect with a rookie quarterback, is just average quarterback play, but you did take him number one overall. I'm sure he'll have his ups and downs, and there'll be some games this year where he doesn't play very well, and that's part of the process when it comes to having a rookie quarterback. But like the whole I walked away from last year's operation obviously not impressed with Brian Callahan, but I thought it was hard to really have too many takeaways from him as a play caller, from his offensive system, given how bad the situation that he was dealing with was.
And look, on the offensive line, I was doing some homework to get ready for our conversation with Stillbilly, and you know, that amounts to me going through his Twitter, really, because well, all of his teases are on there, right? So I know what he's been talking about. Right. And one of his teases was about where the Titans' offensive line ranks in the AFC South. And so I went and ran through that, and maybe we'll discuss that with him, because I'd like to know where they came out. But I went and looked at that, and where I came out is they may have the second-best offensive line in the AFC South. Like, Jacksonville, not very impressive. Houston, that is the big question, because they traded Laremy Tunsil, and Cam Robinson's a big question mark on the left side there, and their left side is a big question mark. Indianapolis has the best players. Bernard Raymond has scored very well as the left tackle there. And Quentin Nelson's obviously a good player. He's been overhyped at times, but he's a good player. The Titans may have the second best. I mean, this sounds crazy. The words that are coming out of my mouth sound crazy, considering where they've been. But they may have, I'm actually saying this, the second best offensive line in their division. That we're talking about six games of, we're talking about four games of play on their schedule where they could get the check mark in the preview box on offensive line, which is kind of insane considering where they've been.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's thinking about that and just how much different that is than what they've been dealing with the last few years here. And again, like, I understand if you're a Titans fan out there, and I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
I see what they've done on paper, and all that's great. Can they go out there when game one rolls around and look like a competent offensive line, and how much better do they get throughout the process? So I get all that. But I guess, like, I look at Callahan, and I don't know how, and I don't think we got a whole lot of this last year. I didn't walk away from very many games or the season last year and think to myself, wow, you know, Brian Callahan's play calling is a big problem. I walked away thinking to myself, okay, well, Brian Callahan, with that quarterback and that offensive line, I don't know that I know anything about Brian Callahan's play calling. That, you know, that's problematic as well, because, look, if the situation is better and the offense doesn't improve all that much, if you get better offensive line play and better quarterback play, but you're still not putting up the amount of points that you feel like you need to be putting up, well, that's the next thing we're going to look at, is Brian Callahan and the play calling and the offensive operation and all that. But, you know, I that part of it is going to be interesting to see this year. How much did he learn from year one to year two? What sort of a stamp can he put on this offense this year?
And also, what does marginally better do for him, right? The wide receivers haven't gone from bad to great. You know, and I think expectations are probably too high for some of these guys. Two fourth-round picks in DK and Io Manor. You know, we're watching them, and we're optimistic about them. But how often do fourth-round pick wide receivers come out and have, you know, big rookie years?
Not very often.
Right? So are they better than the middling receivers that the Titans were, you know, counting on last year? Are they better than Bryce Oliver? We don't know. What a better alternative is there? And Bryce Oliver in his second year, you know, what kind of curve is he on? You know, and then you say, well, if all of these guys have 300, well, how much opportunity? You know, there's only so many snaps to go around. You're not going to have six wide receivers who all contribute 400 yards. No. Because the snaps aren't going on there. So I think we've put quite a shine on the wide receiver group because there's some depth there and there's some possibility there and everything. But more realistically, you have to say, hope, hey, maybe two of those guys do something. Maybe one and a half of those guys do something. But what are the odds the two draft picks and Van Jefferson and Oliver and Restrepo all do? So I just, that's five guys. Five guys in the Tennessee Titans receiver room. Five guys with middling resumes or status are not all going to emerge and be great for Cam Ward. It just doesn't happen that way. So I think there's more hope for the offensive line based on the status of those guys.
I would agree. And this is, again, a point that you've brought up the last couple of years here, which is if one of Ridley or Lockett goes down, right? Yep. I mean, all of a sudden you're in a world of hurt on the wide receiver spot. So, I mean, like, if one of those guys goes down via injury, you're counting on your two rookie fourth-round wide receivers. You're counting on Bryce Oliver. You're counting on Van Jefferson. And that's not a spot that you want your rookie quarterback to be in. So it's, again, a position where I agree they do have a little bit more depth in terms of, like, interesting guys that are in there that have potential, and we'll see what it translates to. They're still one injury away on the wide receiver front from just being absolutely in a world of trouble.
And look, I'm optimistic about Tyler Lockett. But should I be? He's going to be 33 a month into the season. They've got him tabbed as a slot guy. His receptions last year tumbled down to 49 for 600. Now, that's with a new coach in Seattle. Been pretty damn, you know, productive. He's had over 107 targets for 5 seasons before last year. But you don't want 33-year-old wide receivers. You don't. Now, it's good to have him in the room and all of that. Sure. And I think he's a unbelievable guy. I think he will be an unbelievable guy for the team. But you know what happens to 33-year-old wide receivers? If they make it to 33 years old in the league, they smash into walls. They smash into walls. How many 33-year-old wide receivers have the Titans had who have maintained a production level? I mean, D-Hop.
Does it exist?
I don't know how old D-Hop was.
He's 33 now, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, he was pretty good the first year, and he started to fade. Also, D-Hop is, you know, a Hall of Fame wide receiver whose production was insane for the bulk of his career. Now, Tyler Lockett has had a pretty good career, but there's a pretty good gap between him and D-Hop. So
there's no doubt about that.
You know, I'm not begrudging them relying on Tyler Lockett. This is the sort of move they have to make given where their roster is. But he's a 33-year-old wide receiver. You know, they're not going to try to pretend he's something else. You can't.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A question on the Cam Ward front that I want to get to with PK. Coming up next, we'll have Jared Stillman with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and, of course, the NHL draft coming up tonight with him as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Albany Firebirds in the AF1 Championship for the first ever Arena Crown 2025. Pregame starts at 11:30, kickoff at 12 o'clock, with coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. PK, take it away.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to share two things I am celebrating today. 7 Springsteen albums, previously unreleased, all out today in one big batch. Now
it's like a holiday for you.
Unreleased for a reason, right? It clearly some of them good that he decided just it wasn't the right time. Some of them he didn't think were release quality. So this is not for everybody. This is for people like me. But it's like 85 songs. Ridiculous. Goodness. Spotify had like a countdown clock last night. I was trying to get to bed early. I got into bed when it like had a 35-minute countdown on it, and I wasn't asleep when the time came, so I fell asleep with it playing on my phone next to my head, and I drove in today listening to it. And this prompts me to urge my niece, Melissa, to name her child who will be born today, Bruce or Brucina.
Wow.
After a long struggle,
Brucina.
Her surrogate will produce either a grandniece or grandnephew for my
awesome.
Family and a another great grandchild for my 90 plus year old mother today in Chicago, Illinois. So everybody waiting eagerly for news of this child who Simon still can't figure out exactly what the relationship is. But very exciting. So Bruce or Brucina on the way.
Okay. Well,
you don't like
awesome.
Brucina?
I've never heard that one before.
No, I just made it up on the fly.
just made it. Look,
many
you know,
male names just bleed into female names, but not Bruce.
That's true. That is true. You know, PK and I have developed a really nice friendship over the last couple of years. I've perhaps never been more honored than I am today that PK showed up and did this show when Springsteen has 85
yeah,
new
right.
songs coming out today. Like, if that's not a sign of the respect you have for me, I don't know what is.
That's true. I actually have a couple things to do after this, though, in and out of the car. I'll be listening. But you know what I'll be doing the rest of the day? Is
no doubt about
Spotifying
that.
It. Spotify may shut down.
They might.
I mean, I don't know.
Don't have the servers.
If it withstood Taylor Swift, it'll withstand this, I would imagine.
That's probably a good point. So, PK, on the Cam Ward front, we were talking yesterday about Levis and the pocket presence that it just didn't feel like he really had last year. Now, look, I fully recognize that when a team moves on from a quarterback, it's easy to sit there after that and just nitpick everything the previous quarterback did. So I'm not really interested in that. I'm not trying to do that. But I think we would all agree that the pocket presence from Will Levis was not the best. Sometimes the poise certainly was not the best. And the impressions that I get from Cam Ward is that both of those things could be significantly better, particularly the poise. But what do you make of the idea of, I guess, the calm that he brings to the table, and without having seen him take a meaningful NFL snap to this point, how equipped do you think he is to handle that part of it when the bullets are live, once the NFL regular season begins?
I mean, I think it's one of his better traits. I think we could see moments where he is, and I know a lot of people won't like this, too calm. In terms of now he's gotten rid of the ball on time in what we've seen, but on his Miami tape, there are times where he will pull the ball down and move backwards.
Yeah,
you know, you can buy yourself time at that level with his athleticism and with his headiness to execute what looked like Hail Mary plays, you know, where you back around and you beat one guy and roll out to the other side and know you have an extra 3 seconds because the rusher coming has a lot of ground to cover. And these things don't generally happen at the NFL level. They happen sometimes for Jalen Hurts, for Patrick Mahomes, and yep. maybe he turns out to be that guy who makes a miracle play once in a while. But the hit rate on those plays is not high. It's not going to be high for him early on. And that's one of the things that you can get yourself in trouble on. So, but Callahan's talked about this. You want to rein that in. Those are some of the plays that you say no, yes, when he does right. things, and so they need to toe the line the right way. Now, do you have faith that Cam Ward will know how to do that, and that this coaching staff from Callahan to Holtz to Hardegree will be able to do that? That's a lot of what remains to be seen, and that's a lot of the intrigue that we're going to face here. I love that your ball cap is really getting the job done, the brim just covering the eyes. Meanwhile, behind you, it looks like a construction scene. And I think they've got
that. There's a lot going on around
here. I think they've got that banner facing the wrong way, unless they're really looking to show things off to the customers inside rather than the audience outside.
Look, man, I'm just thinking about you right now.
You're like the union workers that are. You're like the union workers that are sponsoring the show tonight. Just getting the job done.
I'm just getting the job done, and I'm a team player, and I'm here for PK.
You got any sunscreen?
That's what my job is. I don't have any sunscreen. Could end up a really poor thing for me today.
You're going to be red.
Really poor decision.
The second time.
Really
the second time decision. You're going to be red today.
We'll have Jared Stillman coming up with us next. We'll get his thoughts on the NHL draft. Predators picking at number 5 tonight. His thoughts on the Tennessee Titans as well. A lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that next hour. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.